Welcome to Are We Where Yet with Johnny Awesome and Tori Black.
We're here in episode number 5 of the Are We Where podcast. Are We Where Yet, sorry, podcast. I'm your host, Johnny. We got Tori here. And first, we're going to start off with a little bit of business. We want to announce our new partnership with North End Coffee House. They're over at 202 First Avenue. If you mention our podcast, 10% off or a free cookie. Everybody likes cookies. You get a free cookie. You go say, hey, I heard it on a podcast, and you get a free cookie or 10% off your order. And also our other partner, Studio Y, who's given a great deal. It's a great deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
25% off. We're very grateful for Amanda and everybody over there. 25% off. It's if you want to take a class, if you want to get a membership, 25% off. They do a lot of amazing things over there. They got yoga, garden meditation, which I just did, I think on Tuesday with Sherry, who was our last guest.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did a garden meditation. It was a great time. So 25% off, Studio Y. It's downtown Yuma, Arizona on Madison Avenue, and you can also find them on Facebook and the like. So I want to thank them and also give a quick shout-out to iNerd, who fixed my headphones. I got Beats headphones on. These are very special headphones to me. My wife bought them for me, and they weren't working, so iNerd and Arizona Avenue. So shout out to them for fixing my headphones. So we got that out of the way. I want to introduce our guests, Michael and Alice. Right?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is kind of a first for me because I've booked every guest up until now. And so this one was the first time that Tori's like, you got to meet this guy. And so it's really exciting for me because I have no idea who you guys are until Alice just said she might have been my Sunday school teacher, which gave me chills. I mean, I had chills running through my body. Like, what are you talking about? She said First Christian Church. I was like, actually, that's the second time I heard that today, First Christian Church. I had coffee at North End Coffee House before this, and the lady there mentioned it too. I haven't heard that church in quite a long time, and I'm hearing twice now today, so there must be some connection going on.
Probably.
So anyway, let's start with Michael. Let's get a little bit about your story. So it's the Are We Where Yet podcast. So tell me where you're from.
Well, I'm born in L.A. originally.
Okay.
I lived in Yuma for a long time, and I was, you know, in and out of incarceration, you know, in and out of Arizona, California, Mexico, just got into a lot of challenging situations.
So you're saying challenging situations. So LA, I think automatically gangsters. Is that your challenging situations, a little bit of gangs? And
it was mostly here in Yuma.
Oh, here in Yuma.
I went to
okay.
California to get, you know, not out of here, but they didn't want me here.
Oh, so you
so
left.
I went to California, and they didn't want me over there. So I'm like, nobody wants
nobody
me.
Wants you. You're a nomad. You're nobody wants to claim you, which is, that's kind of interesting because I know a lot of people that left L.A. to come to Yuma to get away from that life. And so you kind of did the opposite.
Well, I didn't want to. It was forced upon me because, I mean, I just got transferred everywhere. And when I got released, I had to be where I was at. And it was like, try to come back to Yuma. Yuma's like, no, they were arguing with the law system, the judicial system of you guys have them. No, you guys have them. No, we don't want them.
Wow.
And I
wow.
was like, then what do I do? You know, and I stayed in San Diego. I got a good job there. And the 9/11 happened and I lost my security clearance. It's amazing how I got a job with good security clearance in the Navy just coming out of prison. Don't ask me how.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. I've
just one of those things. One of those like tiny miracles.
I've seen a lot of that. Yeah, and not even believing it, I seen it. And that's why, you know, in a nutshell, I opened up to this world. I opened up to the unseen and the unknown because I couldn't explain 80% of my life, you know? If I look back at my life, it seems like I'm looking at a movie that's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's full of, you know, unbelievable things. But,
okay.
What do you want to know?
So you just kind of segued in, and watch out for the mic stand if you hit that, it kind of pops. But so you kind of segued into that because you didn't know how you got this security clearance coming out of jail. So that you said that kind of opened your eyes up to this spiritual path that you're now on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that was one of many. I mean,
one of many.
Yeah, I didn't open up right away because I did work hard to get that position. But without getting into too many details, They were watching me. They seen that I was the first one to get to work, the last one there, and I would do extra. Like, I just, you know, wanted to work. Mm-hmm. And they watched me for 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks they bumped me up to what's called a QAT, a quality assurance tech, which means I was the one that went to the most dangerous places of the ship to do the work because I wasn't afraid. I actually wanted to, quote, die.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you were ready for it. You had no fear.
I had no fear.
There was nothing holding
you
back.
Give me the hardest, give me the most dangerous job, I do it.
Okay. So that no fear kind of led you and guided you into...
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And so, like, to get into the spiritual thing, since we kind of went there already, you guys, sure. Both of you have an organization.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to mispronounce it again. So I'll let
Samadhi?
You guys... Samadhi?
Samadhi.
Samadhi.
Sea of Wisdom, yes.
See, that's what that means? In,
Sea of Wisdom.
What language is that?
Samadhi is Sanskrit, it means... Well, in actuality, nobody knows what it truly means, but the closest meaning is unity. Oneness.
Okay.
But nobody knows what it actually means. It has a meaning that has been lost in translation, but the closest one is unity, and that's what we stand for.
Okay. So you, right. This is a... What is Samadhi?
You want me to...
You want me?
Oh, whatever you want to...
Do you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead, Alice. Yeah, that's fine.
Samadhi is actually a creation that Michael and I put together because of our backgrounds being so different. Yeah. And coming into this life, I've only been into... if you want to call this spiritual life, for 4 years. And we decided we wanted to unite all people, no matter what your religion or your label, the background you come from. We didn't want separation. We yes. want to create a place where people can come and just be.
Mm-hmm.
Their beliefs, they don't need to leave their beliefs. And this is a part of meditation. We use meditation as a tool to bring people together.
Yes.
Okay, so, and then you said it, background's different. So, introduction was, I might have been your Sunday school teacher, so let's get a little bit of your background.
Okay, well, my name is Alice, and my background is 35 years in Christianity.
Okay.
And I never even heard about the word awakening. I never even had any curiosity about meditation, because I was taught that it's a place of, like we said, the unknown, and you don't want to put yourself in that danger. So I just stumbled upon it at a book signing party. An author here, a local author, she wrote a book and had a book signing party and invited me as part of another business I had, kind of like an appreciation. So I was the only one there that was not of a spiritual background except for Christianity. Of course, that's spiritual.
Okay.
So I met Michael there, and as soon as I heard his story, his testimony, it was incredible. I wanted to know more because I, even though I was in the church, I just felt so lost sometimes.
Okay, so you said, how many years?
4 years now.
No, but before that in Christianity.
Oh, about 35 years.
35 years in Christianity, and then mm-hmm. you kind of, with your own words, you said 4 years on the spiritual path.
Yes.
So you kind of like, Christianity wasn't part of your spiritual path. In one way it was, but you don't recognize that as an awakening because you said you kind of felt lost.
Yes, it was very dear to me. I mean, I was only 15 when I accepted Christ. And I worked for many years as a Sunday school teacher at different churches. I dedicated my life to Christ and to helping children and working in the church. But I still felt very isolated and lost. Nobody knew it. I knew how to put up a front and smiled, and I was very polite to people. But inside, where it counts, I felt as though there was a connection missing. And no matter how much I tried, it just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe...
And you tried. You really tried.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I did. I actually come from a background of a lot of abuse, and the abuse was in the way, in my mind. And the people around me didn't really know it. When I finally went to my pastors, the last pastors that I had before I left the church, and God bless them, I wish everyone the best. I have no ill feelings against anyone. But I was told that maybe I was a little too sensitive and maybe a little too exaggerated and that the abuse wasn't really there. But I knew it was. And I just felt I needed to walk my own truth and step out of that, I want to call it programming, because that's how I felt. And now what I bring is that background in Christianity and the Bible-based, where I know that God is with me, but I have a different twist with meditation. Meditation is in the Bible.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. our goal is to help people understand you don't need to leave your church, you don't need to leave the Bible, but incorporate meditation and learn how to have that true connection with God from within, not because someone tells you how. You find it in that silence.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, so then, so you had, maybe deeper issues, something that you went to your pastor, you went to the person of authority and said, hey, I have this issue, I need some help, and they kind of said, you're too sensitive. Exactly. Or they just kind of said, let's just brush this under the rug, yeah. We have things to do, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was a leader in the church, very high up. I was on the administrative board and all different kinds of stuff. It wasn't like I just sat in my pew every Sunday. You know, I put my effort. And because I knew of my need, I went to them and said, how about if we bring something for the marriages, but something deeper? I don't want just a dinner on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. You know, I want something where we can talk to our leaders. We don't realize that some of our leaders in these churches are suffering from a lot of different things.
Because you were a leader, so you're saying, hey, as a leader, I am suffering. You're trying to give them some sense of, hey, I might not be the only one suffering here.
Exactly.
I might not be the only one with these questions, with this deeper thing that you're telling me the answer is, but it's not answering my question.
Exactly. And you know what? I felt there was a lot of contradictory things. Little things, because they invited a guest one day, a psychologist, therapist who helps women, empower women, Christian-based, and she comes to speak to all the women, and she talks about abuse, and she talks about how the woman can stand up for herself. And when she was giving me the information, I just felt like this is my story, and if my own church is bringing this to me, then I guess I have a right to speak up and say thank you, but what can we do now for our church? And nothing ever really happened, so I just needed to make my own choice. I walked away not just from the church, I also walked away from a 35-year marriage.
Oh, wow.
And so that was very difficult, but it was necessary for my health, mentally, physically, and in many other ways. So my desire is to help other women, especially young girls. I got married at 16, and I would love to be able to share my story with those that suffer in silence.
So you have a story, you have something that, some darkness in your past that you want to be able to guide other people through, say, hey, there's a light at the end of this darkness, that you're not going through this for some obscure reason, that I could bring some help, and then maybe you could bring some help, and you're forever continuing the cycle of helping.
And I'm going to say something, John. I really appreciate that you said darkness, because people shy away from their darkness.
Mm-hmm.
They fear it. They don't want to face themselves. And I can tell you right now with my whole heart that if anyone, man or woman, faces that dark side, that's where the healing starts.
Yes.
Because that dark side isn't really dark. It's your blessing. It's your teacher. But when we are afraid of it, when we don't want to face it because it's too much, maybe the ego, maybe, you know, what are people going to say because I'm such an upstanding citizen in the community. I mean, we owned a business here for more than 25 years. A lot of people know me in this community.
Really?
And it was very difficult for me to leave that life, but
because they want to say, like, no, this is Alice. I know Alice.
Right.
This is her. She goes to church every Sunday.
Yes.
She teaches the kids.
Yes.
This is who she is. So you had to face the fact that, okay, they're going to be taken back by this wasn't Alice the whole time.
Yes.
That Alice was just putting out this image that everybody else wanted to perceive, but Alice wasn't being fed herself.
Exactly. And I still have a lot of my characteristic. Of course, I still feel that I stand for a lot of the things that I believed in. What I do now that you can say is a little different is I faced my dark side and I came to terms with it and I forgave myself. See, because when you accept Jesus Christ, you're told, okay, you're free to go. You accepted Jesus Christ. Here's the Bible. Go ahead and, you know, you're saved. It's done. But they don't teach you what to do with those thoughts. They don't teach you what to do with the guilt of the things that you've just asked forgiveness for. Mm-hmm. And that's where meditation really does help. Yeah. It saved my life. I would not be sitting here if it weren't for meditation.
So then you're saying, like, okay, it's like, okay, you accept Jesus and they give you no, like, where do you go next? It's like, it's done. It's what are you worried about? It's exactly. Almost like, okay, you just be like the rest of us. And
copies
don't ask questions.
Copies of copies. Yes.
Okay. So, Michael, do you have a similar story? Were you confronted with Christ in that way at all, or?
You know, because the reason why we share our testimony is really to what's called wake up people. Mm-hmm. I don't want the attention on me. I want the attention on spirit, on the presence. And the one thing is that I learned more than anything in the shadow, what people call the dark.
In the darkness.
In the shadow. The one thing that I realized was that I was against myself. People don't realize that. They think something out there is against them or something out there is
like the problem lies out there somewhere. Yes. You have to point to it. And if that was only fixed, the world would be fixed.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I fought everyone and everything.
Like maybe literally, right?
Yeah, literally.
You get in a few fights?
However, there's a conundrum there because a lot of people really seen their crazy side of me because I would fight if you mess with my family or my friends.
Okay.
But if you mess with me, I would put my hands behind my back and let you hit me. I love to get beat. I loved pain.
Maybe something inside of you said, I deserve this?
Yes.
Why did you think you deserved the pain?
Well, I didn't know for the longest, but the reason why I accepted that pain is because I had a close relationship with my father, which I didn't realize. I blocked that memory in my head. And the one thing is, I hated all men. I hated all men.
So even yourself at that point?
Yeah, even myself. And I was doing my best to gain friendship, to gain acknowledgement, because that's what made me feel important, the ego, right? Mm-hmm. And I did things for people. I did time, what we call prison, for people. I got scars on my body for people. I mean, I did everything to gain acceptance, to gain love, which I didn't want love, but I didn't realize I did. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants love. Everybody. But we just mask it with different desires.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short is I got beat down by life. And the one thing that I realized, and I desire for everyone listening to this to meditate and reflect, if life is hitting you hard, are you hitting yourself hard? Because I realized I was the main component. God wasn't against me. Mm-hmm. Nothing was against me. Life is for me. I mean, just look at nature. Life is for life, you know? But when we have these ideas that limit us, and one thing I want to say is I thank Alice so much because I pushed away the Bible. I pushed away religion.
So the Bible was a part of your life at some point.
Okay. I didn't mention that, but I was raised in a Christian church.
Okay.
And I even had some experiences in the Christian church where I was prophesied on and I was told, you know, some incredible things and I didn't want to believe it, you know. And the one thing is that when I pushed away from the church is, you know, God bless the church because really they were my instrument in getting to reveal this truth within me. So I bless every single one of them. I bless everyone that gave me the scars on my body. I bless everyone that betrayed me because what I realize is I betrayed myself.
The whole time.
The whole time. I hated myself. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror because, I mean, literally, I don't know how to explain it, but literally when I look at the mirror, I would see this monster, this demon-like being. And I believed I was possessed. I believed that I was too lost. I was too unworthy to gain God's love. I felt like I had to fight for it. So I was like, you know what? I would even tell people that would come to preach to me. I'd say, look, with all due respect to you and your beliefs, but I know where I'm going. And there's no coming back.
So where were you going?
Hell.
So
in my mind, was going to hell, but I was living hell.
You were already living. You were there already.
I was
already
living in hell.
So that
yeah.
was. That
so
was...
it was like, how bad could hell be? If I'm already living hell, why am I scared of hell? I'm already living it. I don't know if it's too much because that's why I said I don't know what I can say and what I can't say.
You can say whatever you want, man.
Thank you. But every day well, that's a little bit sarcastic, maybe 3 times a week, I would get upset and I would look down at the ground and I would say, you piece of, you know what? Why haven't you killed me yet? Are you afraid of me? Because my goal was, when I went to hell, to kill as many demons mm-hmm. as possible, because I wasn't going to spend eternity suffering. I was going to kill the devil to take over. That was my goal.
That was your goal.
That was, as crazy as that sounds, that was my goal.
So part of the where wow. that you were trying to get was hell itself, because exactly. I'm living there already.
Yeah, I was going to prove to the devil mm-hmm. because I said, you know what, God? Because I respected God. One thing that I always did is I said, you know what, God? I looked at God up here, somewhere in the universe, somewhere in mm-hmm. in the cosmos out there, and I would say, you know what, God, I respect you so much that I'm not going to play with you. The day that I transform my life, I didn't know I used the word change, the day that I change my life is the day that I serve you 1,000%.
Wow.
And at that moment, I was like, but that's not me right now. If it is to be me one day, and that's your choice, then it's going to happen. But right now, because the one thing that I wouldn't do is I wouldn't, you know, mask, you know, doing something evil, because that was evil back then, that I would thought it was evil. And then I would say, you know what, God, forgive me my sins. And then I would go back and do it again. Forgive me my sins, go back and do it again. And then when I went to prison, I didn't even pick up the Bible, because I said, you know what? No, the easiest thing is to pick up this Bible and say, God, I need your help.
To kind of pretend.
But I said,
again.
I'm going to do this on my own. I told God, I'm going to do this on my own.
Okay.
If I'm not able to do this on my own, and the day that I transform or change is the day that I'm going to serve you. And here we are.
So, okay, so for both of you, so what brought that change? Because obviously you're not beating yourself up right. anymore, right, Michael? I hope
no.
not. No.
No.
There's no more.
Well,
that.
You know what? I'm going to be very honest with you, because we believe in transparency. There are times when the brain says, you know what, Michael, you're not doing it right. You're da-da-da. But you know what I know. See, that's the thing. When you fall and you stay on the floor, it's because you don't know you can get up. Mm-hmm. But my message to people is, you can get up.
You can get up.
And the thing about it is, the fall makes you stronger. Look at a baby. When the baby falls, not to give a class, but when the baby falls, it has to use its limbs, its muscles, its intention, its will to get up. So what is being built? What is being strengthened? The will, the desire, the intention, you know? So the shadow really builds our desires, really builds our intentions, really builds our very essence of who we are. But when we want to escape from that, when we want to ignore it, when we want to cover it up with happiness and like she said, I did the same thing. Oh, I'm happy. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. But inside I'm like, please, somebody help me. I don't know what to do. If we don't voice it, see, we live in so many masks that's why we are where we are. Hmm. But when we take off the mask and we see each other for our individuality, but our collective oneness, we can experience a peace on earth like nobody can ever even imagine.
You know, I try to tell people about that peace on earth. And I get frustrated sometimes. And my mentor tells me, like, hey, like, kind of relax a little bit. Like, it's okay. Maybe they're just not ready to wake up. Mm. You know, you got to be, you know, it took you a long time. Like, and my mentor was there since I was 15, 16.
Wow.
And so, like, he's like, it took a long time for you. So it's going to take a long time for some people.
Yes.
But you just got to be okay with that. And so I get the passion of trying to wake people up. And I tell people, like, oh, this option, like the things that I'm able to do, like I'll speak something into existence, like this universe. I was talking to a lady today. She was an atheist over at North End Coffee House. I went there and had some coffee before this. And she was talking about how she's an atheist. She doesn't believe in God. She had a horrible life. Her husband left her for another woman and like all these horrible things. And she's like, she went to First Christian Church and it just didn't stick. The stuff doesn't flow for her.
Mm.
And I said, you know what? I don't look at God like that anymore. I look at God like the universe is asking me to the dance floor and saying, let's dance. Let's dance. Don't you hear the music that's playing? Mm. I want to partner with you. And we can partner together in doing these things. Before, I would try to do it by my own might, my own strength. And now it's like, no, let's dance through it, because there's beautiful music playing all the time.
Exactly.
You know, and I try to tell that to people, and they're just like, oh, you're silly. You're a weirdo.
You're a weirdo.
Yeah, you know? Can I interject? Can I inject on that uh-huh. 1 second? People call us weird and crazy all the time. You know what I like to say? Jesus and all the spiritual masters were crazy. They didn't follow the norm.
They didn't.
They didn't follow what everybody told them. If they did, we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't even be talking
about
it. So
I'm glad. When people call me crazy, it's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'll wear that.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'll wear that. I'll take that. That's,
so when it's perception. See, perception limits our experience. So when you take a word and it no longer holds power on you, it can't control you. But the minute that you give it power, you're giving them the testimony that you're not there yet.
Mm.
And they're looking for you for guidance. Mm-hmm. So when you can, and I'm not going to say that I don't fall. Sometimes, like I said, I do. But my point is this. The one quote that I love, and I hope I'm quoting it right, but it's something that I take to heart today. I wanted to save the world. I mean, you knew me when I was all up in mm-hmm. people's faces. Hey, do you meditate?
That's how I
know you stand on the microphone. Hey, do you meditate? Do you meditate? Let me show you how to meditate. Let me show you, because this is the way. And one thing I realize is I'm not here to save the world. See, everybody has this program of we're here to save the world. But actually, we're here to save ourselves, just like all the spiritual masters did. They did that inner work. And mm-hmm. when you save yourself, you propel this potential limitless energy that, just like the brain is an antenna, it has a sending and receiving mechanism. And when you affect yourself, you propel into your physical existence, and people that surround you will instantly download that. They don't know what they're downloading, but the more they'll come into you, mm-hmm. at first they'll fight you. Because
there's that resistance.
It's that resistance.
The ego doesn't want to die.
Wow. Exactly.
It's kind of meeting its exactly. death at that point, and it can kind of smell the death out, like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Something's going on here. So that resistance is natural.
Exactly. And if you don't fight or judge their resistance, then they're one with you. And that's, then they hear
right
you.
There, what you just said right there is beautiful.
I know. I'm just like blown away by it right now.
That's beautiful. If you don't fight, because I was taught, and later on after the first Christian, I went to a Pentecostal church that was very, you have to fight that resistance. Like continue to get them into a box, get them into a corner until they accept Christ. Like you got to go, you know, and that's why I was taught the way to do it. Like you argue somebody into a relationship with Jesus, and you got to pretend like you have this relationship with Jesus, but what is Jesus? And then you have these thoughts in your mind, but as long as you're arguing for it, you're kind of convincing yourself that you have it.
Yes.
So I like that. You go with the resistance. You're like,
oh, I love resistance. Just like when you work out. Come on. You love resistance, right?
Oh, she loves it.
If you're not getting resistance, does it feel like you're doing anything?
Mm-mm.
That's exactly life.
No.
Can I inject one thing on that point?
Go ahead.
This is going to offend a lot of people, but offensiveness is really building. Mm-hmm. Okay, something doesn't offend you because it can't offend you. It offends the ego. Listen to what I just said. Something offends you, it can't offend you. You can't be offended, but it offends the barriers of perception of you.
Okay.
Okay? So what I'm about to say is going to offend a lot of barriers of perspective. But if we reflect on it, meditate on it, it's the truth. Okay? All spiritual masters gave glory to one presence, not to themselves. Mm-hmm. But in all religions, we want to worship, we want to give praise, we want to give above me acceptance of a deity, right? And to me, because I feel they're, not that they're pain, they don't feel pain, but they feel like this confusion for people. It's like, wake up, I didn't give my life for you to worship me.
Mm.
I gave my life so you can worship the source that sent me.
Exactly.
So here's what I got to say about that. When we get the middleman out of the way, you get the source and you get the pure message. You get the pure essence of who you are. But when you use a middleman, and I mean, if that's where people got to start, God bless
them. So maybe it's a starting point.
Yeah, it's a starting point. But the people, I'm going to say the people that have this resistance towards systems, they're already there. Because the systems is the thing controlling your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't mean to just be disrespectful, but education, religion, even the political government, okay, all of those systems, they want to control you by perspectives. Now, we can respect their place, but know that our part is just to, like, enjoy that experience, not to judge it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we can come in with that, think about it like this. I like to say one thing. That's why we call samadhi the sea of wisdom, not the sea of information, not the sea of education, not the sea of ego. And the sea of wisdom is this. We look up at the sky and we can see far. We got telescopes, we got satellites. I mean, we can see this whole planet. We can map out everything, but we can't map out the ocean. We can send images that read, but we can't see what's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because we're scared. We're scared because there's so much pressure. There's the unknown. There's darkness. There's creatures that we haven't even discovered yet. That reflects the human experience. We're so afraid to go within ourselves because we're afraid what we're going to discover. And it's a lot of pressure on you. To go within yourself, it's a lot of pressure because things, the guilt, the frustrations, the stress, the anger, the resentment, the fear, all those are pressures that are inside of us. And if we're not willing to face those pressures, we're not going to take those masks off. We just cover it with another mask. We just cover it with another mask. And when we can dive deep within ourselves into that sea of wisdom, we won't depend on education. See, if you look at all the greats, just look at the age where it was the age of enlightenment. They had to use their physical beings to tune into something greater. I mean, a lot of people don't know who Tesla is, but they know who Einstein is. They meditated. Einstein in 1 year came up with the law of relativity, the theory of relativity. And the thing is, they were blown away how in 1 year he could do this. Why? Because he said it came to him. Mm-hmm. Now, we're so dependent on the external that that's why we're copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. I want to be like you because you, not no disrespect to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be like you because I love that shirt and you get all the attention. So I got to do what you do to get all the attention. No, if you look at all the greats, they were themselves.
They were
and
themselves.
That's why they got the most attention.
You know, and Tesla, I think everybody in this room loves Tesla.
I love Tesla.
I love Tesla.
Yeah. That's like
thank
a,
you, Tesla.
Yeah,
Tesla
right?
All the way.
Because Tesla was himself all the way to the fact that he loved a pigeon, which is like weird, but I don't care. Like, cool, he loved a pigeon. To me, it's like that guy knew and he listened to that voice. It came, the AC motor came to him in a dream, in a vision. Yes. And it's like, okay, not only is he hearing from this other outer world, this other spiritual world, but yeah. he's able to manifest. Mm-hmm. It's like the proof is in the pudding.
Yes.
It's like people say they're spiritual, but if there's no manifestation of that, then I question, you know. But Tesla brought it into manifestation.
Yeah.
You know, he brought it into this world. And so that's kind of how I judge. So I see, yeah, Tesla, Einstein, Max Planck, who was one of Einstein's contemporaries, that said that everything comes, like matter's not even matter. Max Planck said he went to the depths of matter, and it said everything kind of comes in and out from this invisible matrix.
Yes.
He's looked deep into this thing, everything is coming from this source. So I can't even get into it. It's like they end up calling them like imagons because it's like this thing is all coming from imagination.
Imagination.
So, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just want to kind of get back to what was the transforming part? And both of you can get the – let's start with Alice real quick. You went to you went to this book signing. You guys met. Mm-hmm. So how did it go from being a Christian to spiritual –
You said we had 60 minutes, so.
Yeah, we're good.
We could be here all day.
No, yeah, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. Basically, I had a lot of resistance to go to this party because there were going to be people there that I knew was from another walk of life that wasn't anything near mine. But I desired to. Something in my heart said, you know what, Alice, go. For the first time, you're going to get to be yourself because I was going to go alone.
You were going alone.
Yes, because my then husband did not want to go to the party. He had other things to do. And so he said, you know what? I'm not going. I said, well, I'm going to go. We need to represent our business. And these people are inviting us as gratitude towards us. So I went. I parked in front of the house and I almost drove off because I was so insecure. And I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to even speak if I just felt like, I know who I am. I know I'm a kind, loving, caring, very bubbly person. I can talk to people. So I went into the party. I was greeted by the host, amazing, beautiful people here in town. They're just lovely ladies. And the book signing was amazing. The music was beautiful, the food. And I was just sitting and watching people. And I hear a story. I hear this girl from across the room. Michael and I still cannot figure out how I heard this. I have really good hearing, but there's music and people talking, and she's a room away. And I could hear her share her story with someone about her being abandoned, living with her grandmother, going through abuse. I said, wait a minute, that's my story. But I was a little chicken, right? So I'm like, but this is too much. I can't believe someone else actually has my same story. Now, I was still going through a lot of mental and emotional abuse that I even did to myself. I'm going to tell you honestly, okay, because of my brain. So I thought, but I'm okay with my birth mother now because I talked to her about it. So I at least want to go tell this girl, you know what? You're not alone and it's going to be okay. You're going to be able to get past that with your mother. So I walk up towards her. And when I get to the doorway of the room that they were in, I hesitated because then I see Michael and I'm thinking, well, they're engrossed in their conversation. I'm going to kind of mess it up for them, you know? But then I said, no, you be yourself, Alice, and you want to help this girl, you go help her. So I go there to both of them and I put my hands up like this because I was always so shy. I'm like, excuse me, but I have something to share and I'd like to talk to her. And of course, Michael's very nice. I said, sure, go ahead, come on in. So I start talking to her. I tell her about my story. We were there for 3 hours, the three of us, talking about our backgrounds and where we come from and what's going on. It was the most incredible. That was my turning point in my life. I said, wow, I learned things that I never heard before about awakening, things that I wanted for myself, for my family. But of course, my family wasn't going to accept it, like, mm-hmm, right there, you know? So that's where I started. Then I left the party. A month went by. And I'm driving, and then all of a sudden,
oh, no.
Someone runs past my car. I'm at a red light, just about to slow down for the red light, and they put their hands on the hood and run. And then,
okay, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah,
this is where,
yeah.
A month later,
right?
Yeah.
And see, I was a very conservative, very quiet type of girl, and I never would give my number out, but I really love what he had to say. It touched my heart about how you have a choice. And I never thought I had a choice. So
what do you mean you have a
number.
Choice? I don't know.
Well, a choice. I never had a choice. So I don't even know what that meant.
If what I to wanted, believe, or where
oh,
to
yeah.
go,
what to wear.
To be even, yourself.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, to be myself. And so
she thought she was paralyzed by
this. So then when I see him, I go, oh, that's that guy that I met at the party. And I just hadn't called him because I'm busy with my life, right? But I thought it was kind of interesting how he just jumped out in front of my car. So
I love that. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
I think that's super cool.
That was incredible because otherwise, I mean, a month had passed by. I didn't do anything about it. I read the book that I got at the book signing, and I was really excited about the news I had discovered, but I didn't follow through to learn from him, right? So I sent him a text. I said, did you just jump over a car, someone's car, in front of someone's car? And he said he was catching the bus, and he said that he was looking around like, who the heck saw me? What is this? And I go, do you remember me from the party? And then, oh, yes. And so then we start talking, you know, messaging back and forth. And I wanted to know more. I would take my Bible when I would study with him. I would take my Bible because yes. I believed, you know, if it's in the Bible. But the more he would share, the more he would tell me about how this works, how the brain and the heart and all this, I said, Michael, everything that you're telling me is here. And when I go to church on Sunday, I hear it in the songs. I hear it in the preaching. But these people just don't know. They don't feel it the way I'm feeling it. This is so different. So it just merged into samadhi.
So
wow.
I would like...
Oh, go ahead.
One thing that she reminded me of that's so important, because I come from a very a Christian background, but then I got into spirituality. And... even to this day, I see trends that I was trapped in. And it's like, we want more information. We want more education. We study, you know, all these different cultures and belief systems to get a deeper awareness of that. And I fell into that. And one thing that I realized, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to identify with this, is that the more information you get, that ego does not get full.
No.
Right. It wants more. Uh-huh. It's like, I figured this out. Oh my gosh. And I figured this out. But now I know this. And 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 each one of these is like, but then this comes this and this and this. And it's like this.
It's forever.
This animal that's yeah. ever,
forever
ever hungry.
Forever hungry.
And the one thing that I am so grateful to Alice, and that's why I fell in love with her, because her love for God, her love for spirit. Because we say, let me say something really quick. We say God, but it's just a label of something that can't be labeled.
Exactly.
It's an essence. It's a presence. It's a blah.
You know, there's no name. The only time I've read in the Bible that it had a name was he said, I am. That's it. So basically, when he told Moses to...
Yeah.
Moses is like, well, who do I tell the people that's doing this? Well, say, I am. So Moses literally had to go and say, well, who's doing this? And Moses had to say, I am. I am doing this. Yeah. So isn't that beautiful?
And if you think about it, it's true. Because Moses was the voice of God.
Yes.
Because he stepped up to the plate. See, every one of us listening on this podcast, everyone, even those that haven't listened to this, we're all the I am. And we have the opportunity to be the I am. But we think we got to earn it, like I said earlier. I don't want to sound like a broken record. But however, the thing about it is, it even says in the Bible that our mission is to become God-like. But yet when people hear that, it's like, no, you're not like God. Mm-hmm. It says in the Bible, I'm like God.
Yes.
So if I'm not going to accept that because you're going to get offended, then what I'm doing is I'm hiding my candle under the table like Jesus said not to.
Exactly.
Jesus wanted us to have the candle because if you hide it under the table, you're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
But if you bring it up, and this is where if you guys, if we can plug in something right here, are we able to?
Yeah.
We do a daily word every day. And the thing about it is my background is Christian, but we don't focus on one single religion.
Yeah.
Our emphasis, our motivation, our inspiration is that everyone is confused in every religion, in every belief system, in every system. Okay. So we want to use that as a door to say, look, we're reading from the Bible, but there's awakening here. Look at the awakening, and wherever you're coming from, everybody's trying to say the same thing with different words and different labels and different concepts. But when we put away the concepts, we get the essence of the truth because we will feel the union in all.
Yeah, you feel the unexplainable. Exactly. So people are, well, God's unexplainable, but we want you to explain him? Yes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, you can't explain the unexplainable, so just live in that mystery.
Exactly.
Well, people don't want to live in the mystery. They get anxiety there because in the mystery, you have to face yourself.
Exactly.
You know, it's like,
and that's the most...
I love Joseph Campbell. He talks about the hero's journey.
Yes.
And going into that cave and facing that dragon. And then on the other side of that dragon is all the gold. That's everything you ever wanted, but you have to go face that dragon. And the scariest part about it is when you realize the dragon was you the whole time.
Exactly.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, in Star Wars, it's when Luke was on Dagobah, and Luke had to go into the cave and face Darth Vader. And when he chops off Vader's head, and this is just assimilation in the Empire, he took off the mask, and it was him the whole time. So he had to go into that cave and face himself.
Yes.
So that's the real story. And people don't want to face themselves because they're taught, this is who you are as a kid. They're given labels. They're given, she's the good girl. This is the good boy. This is this. And then so the good girl or the good boy does something bad. Like, well, I just did something bad. And they have no outlet to even express that. Yeah. What do they say? Who do they go to? Like, I'm the good girl. I'm the good boy. You know, who do I talk to and express these feelings? People coming back from the wars, yes. PTSD, like had to go do some atrocious things to another human being, you know, go murder people and kill them. And they're like, this was in me the whole time. And they come back here and try to live a normal life.
Yeah.
Have nobody to talk to, to say, hey, there's this demon that's in me. There's this thing that lives inside of here. How do I reconcile that?
Yeah.
But it's in all of us.
Exactly.
You know, Jung, who's one of my favorite authors, Carl Jung, and he was a Swedish Jew, and they wanted him to condemn Hitler, like, well, speak out against Hitler, which would seem obvious, right? You know, he's killing your people. He's like, no, because you don't know who's inside of here. Exactly. He wouldn't condemn Hitler because of himself. He's, I'm capable of doing the same things.
Exactly.
And people don't want to realize that. They don't want to face that.
Good point.
Yeah, they don't want to face that. They're capable of it. But it's okay. If we're all capable of it, let's all have a conversation around a desk and talk about it.
Oh, you just touched on something how much more time do we have?
We got time. You're good, man.
Yeah, okay. Because, we're diving deep. And that's our goal. So thank you. Because we can't really conversate with people about these very foundational things. This is foundation. We're tapping into foundation. The darkness is foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I mean, just look at the womb. It's dark. Okay? That's
your place of birth. Exactly, where you start.
Exactly. So the one thing that you were saying that I love is we're reading this book right now, because if you do read a book, I want to give you a little bit of emphasis on how to read a book.
Go ahead.
when you read a book, you don't read it to get full of information, of education. When you read a book, you read it as if you're writing to yourself.
And when I've never heard anybody say that, but I love that.
Yeah, when you read it like you're writing to yourself, then you open up that you are that. And you learn, and you even tap into that vibrational intention of that book instead of your concepts, your beliefs, and your ideas on what you're reading.
Okay, so my mentor would say, like, you go to a book not for the origination of truth, but the confirmation of truth. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to confirm the truth that is already in you.
Yes.
And for the podcast, we did a little thing on Facebook, and it was, where would you rather find yourself, Labyrinth or Neverending Story? And everybody in this room chose the Neverending Story. But the reason why I love that is because he realized he was the book. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're familiar with the story, that he had to realize that he was the Savior, that he was this thing, that he was the book the whole time. He thought he was reading something.
Right.
It's like, no.
That's a movie?
Yeah. The Neverending Story. You never heard of it?
No.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's a kid's story. That's one of the... It's a good movie.
Oh, you got to watch it. So beautiful because he had to realize that he was the book. He was it. And, and to me, that just like...
That is so true.
It is. It's so true. So I like how you mentioned that reading a book is like you wrote it to yourself. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
I
because...
I want to step in here for a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Because when Michael said that, that was one of the other things that helped me turn my life around. When I realized, you said earlier, what choice, Alice? You didn't have a choice. In my head, in my brain, in my thoughts, I always thought I was going to live my whole life being abused in one way or another. And so I never thought there was a way out except for death. Either I'd be killed or until I just die naturally or something, but I was never going to be able to leave that was imprisoning me inside my head.
Inside of the Christian church, you resigned yourself to torture.
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't think I had a choice. I did my best to speak of it. Like I said, people would see me and they would have probably never guessed. Mm-hmm. No one would have ever guessed. And I had pastors come and pray for me at my home because it looked like if I was even possessed. I know I laugh about it because when I think about it, now that I know what I know, I just can't even believe how I lived with that in my head for so long. Talk about the people that go to war. But
being
so you had that myself
war going on inside of your head.
Yes.
People think you got it together. You have a business.
Yes.
You have this. And
a beautiful
even,
family, which I still do have a beautiful family. But I mean, I was married for 35 years, 4 children, and I just love them to pieces. But it wasn't like I was there, but I wasn't.
Okay. So, and you said 4 kids.
Yes. And so my way of seeing it, when I was diagnosed with cancer during all of this that happened, I'm in the midst of transforming my way of thinking, my life. I'm diagnosed. And I thought to myself, you know, because I do alternative medicine. So my Chinese doctor, my quote unquote Western doctor, they diagnosed the tumor, they did tests, but they take so long. So by the time I didn't want to wait, I went to my Chinese doctor right away. I knew he could tell me right on the spot. And he said, Alice, at the rate you're going, it could be anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So he said,
so when was this?
This was about 2 years ago, almost.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even keep track. So about 2 years ago. So so when he says this, I believe him because he's been my doctor for 14 years and he's helped me with other things. So, and I know of people that he's helped heal from cancer. So I said, wow, 3 to 6 months. He goes, yes, it could travel to your liver real quick. And once it hits there, it's going to be very difficult, Alice. But you know what to do, right? And I go, yes, I do know what to do. And he would even tell me, but your environment needs to change too, because a lot of the illness comes from that mental state.
Wow.
So
a Western doctor would never have told you that.
No, never.
No.
So as I'm coming back from, you know, from this trip and I'm thinking about everything that was said to me, I thought, why am I going to wait for a doctor to tell me you have 3 to 6 months?
Why?
Why? How about if I'm driving and here comes this semi truck or something and I'm done? So my life was really just one more week or one more day or a few more minutes, you know? It could be any moment.
I love that.
So then what I decided at that time, I said, okay, Alice, you, and I learned this through the meditation with Michael. I said, you've lived your life to please everybody, to try and make things happen, to try and live the happily ever after. I want to live the happily ever now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewrite my own story, because when I meditate and when I've been learning about what awakening and meditation and what's within yourself and the manifestations that you could create and so forth, I said, I'm going to write my own story.
You took the pen back. You got the pad and you said, I'm the author now.
Yes. Yeah. Right now on. That doesn't mean I did it all the way that it was supposed to be. I mean, I'm having a lot of fumbles. Story. I lost a lot of things. I can say material things. But that's another thing I told myself after the cancer. I'm not taking anything with me in that box.
Yeah.
Nothing right. fits
Who
in
does?
There. Right. Nothing fits in there. So I said, why am I holding on to all this and living in fear, in pain? I was in constant pain because of the depression or because of a lot of things. The cancer was just like the cherry on top. So I said, nope, no more. I'm done. I'm done with this life. I'm going to live for me. And as selfish as that sounds, because that's the first time I ever said that, I needed to trust what I've always trusted, and that's Romans 8:28. That was my scripture that I held on to all the time, because I knew I loved the Lord.
And what is Romans 8:28?
Romans 8:28 says, everything works well, or everything works for the good for those that love the Lord and are called upon their purpose. So my purpose was, okay, I love God. I'm going to hold on to that. Whatever else the Bible says, I may not memorize it all. But Romans 8:28 says that if I love the Lord, everything's going to work well. So what am I afraid of? I know what I love. I know that I want to do the best for humanity. I wanted to live that golden rule. I don't want to treat anybody the way I don't want to be treated. Mm. I know what unconditional love can be like. I did my best to help my family, to help my ex-husband, with everything from therapy and going to other pastors to help us, and nothing would, because it has to come from within.
So he has to wake up just the same way you woke up. There's nothing you could do at that point. You right. have to take care of yourself. And you brought up the word selfishness, which is a word that I had to contend with myself. And it gets to the point where it's like, no, I'm supposed to be blessing people out of the abundance that's here. Exactly. And so I do have to take care of myself. I do have to be a little selfish.
Yes.
If that's the word we're going to use.
If that's right.
Because if I don't meditate, if I don't meditate, if I don't take care of myself, I get funky. I'm serious.
You can feel it.
I can feel it. I start to feel off. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so I start to feel off, and it's like I have a life coach that helps me out with certain things. Yeah,
awesome.
And he says, like, hey, so when you don't meditate, when you don't take that time to do that, like, how does your family feel?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're right. It's like, is that good for them or is that bad for them? It's like, well, I'm trying to spend more time with them. I'm trying to do this. He's like, yeah, but is it good time?
Quality.
And I'm like, wow. He's like, dude, go meditate. Get away from them. Go do what you have to do. His name is Joshua Schaubach. He's a great, great guy. He said, go do what you have to do and then come back to your family and then come back out of the abundance of who you are. So
be a little selfish. One thing that I like to include on what you just said is I love the word that you use, because it just sparked me to a whole nother level right now, because that's one thing that I hear so many people talk about love, but I would like to connect a more authentic word to really emphasize what love is: unconditional love. Mm-hmm. When there's a condition, it's not love. It's ego, illusion, idea of what love is to me. Like, that is love. If that looks beautiful, that's love to me. But if it doesn't look beautiful, oh no, then that's not love. I'm putting a condition on it. And when I talk about unconditional love, it has to be for ourselves. We want to manifest unconditional love and peace and harmony in the world, but we don't even give it to ourselves. How do we think we're going to experience it? And the one thing that I desire to share, because I think it's important, it's one of part of my testimony, is that I ask people to die every day. To die every day. Don't wait till death, like you were saying. Don't wait till death to wake you up. Or don't wait till death is on your footsteps to wake you up. Oh no, now I got to make a transformation. Mm-hmm. Now I got to make bigger, better decisions. Now I got to change my habits or transform my habits. The reason why I don't like to use the word change is because samadhi doesn't want anyone to change. We don't want anyone to change. What we want them to do, what we desire them to do, and we give them the opportunity to do, is transform what they think they are into who they are.
So, and you know, that the way that transformation works is that once you think you're somebody different, the change comes. So it just flows out of your natural thought of who you are. Once I started to realize that I am presence, mm-hmm. my life started to flow from there. It was like a center point, a ground zero for it to grow out of.
Yes, yes.
And so then I didn't have to like change, and it wasn't like this fight to where it's like, don't do bad things. It's like, well, I want to do bad things because I'm a bad person. You know, that's what I was taught.
That's the problem.
I was taught in Christianity, you're bad. Your heart is evil. The scriptures over and over again that said that I'm a bad person. Yes. I'm a born sinner.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, what do I do with all that? Like, then it's like, well, no, you're perfect.
You're going to love this. May I inject? Yeah. Let's take the word sin and let's see it for what it is. In ancient times, words were used as symbology. Not just words.
They're symbols.
People take words as words. But if you take the meaning of the word, you see the depth of the truth of the word. Now, when I talk about sin, it's an ancient term, sin. It's not sin, it's sin. Mm-hmm. Okay? Sin meant falling short from the glory. And it was an archery term. The bullseye is the glory. Now, in ancient times, the archers, because people are led to believe that the knights and the ones that knew how to use the swords and stuff were the greatest, not necessarily. For you to get, infamous, like famous or known, if you were a good archer, you were important.
Okay.
Because you didn't have to be at the front line. Excuse me. You didn't have to be at the front line, like last resort, fighting. If I was an amazing archer,
I get you.
I can do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 times before the enemy hit the even. And imagine if you have 100 great archers, how many are you going to eliminate? So, and I'm not trying to emphasize war. I'm just going back to the meaning. Because it was a wartime era. Okay, that's why the Bible is based on fighting, on struggling. Because if you change the perspective to the now we don't need to fight. That's one thing that we emphasize, and the thing is, I didn't plug it in, the daily word. We do the daily word every day, and we do a reading of the daily word, which is from Unity. We do a reading from the daily word, and we emphasize from our essence of what that means to us, because we want people to be able to read the Bible with the
proper context.
Clear eyes.
Yeah.
So go back to the bullseye.
So you're missing the mark.
Go back to the bullseye, okay? When you miss the mark, if you miss... Are we coming down? Oh, okay. I thought you were telling me to go. Okay. If you missed the bullseye, that was instant failure because there were so many people that were good. So if you missed the mark, even a little bit, you failed.
You've sinned.
To be one of the greats.
Yeah.
Okay. So you sinned. Okay. Sin is falling short of the glory. Let's take that into what it was really meant to be. Falling short was falling short from your authenticity. Falling short from your greatness, falling short from your purpose of why you are here, not to follow somebody else's purpose because they tell you, you got to do that because that's, or for example, your mom or your dad is a police officer or a doctor, and they tell you, you know what, your grandpa and your great-grandpa was a doctor or a police officer, and you're going to be a police officer. You're not going to shame the name of the family because you want to be this. And it's like, wait a minute, mom. I was born for something else. I can feel it. I want to be an artist. I want to be a singer. I want to be a painter, whatever. But that's your purpose. And when you follow somebody else's calling, then it feels like forever you're empty, forever you're trying to fight or figure something out. But this is the micro-macro. I don't know if you guys are familiar with micro-macro.
Yeah.
Okay, as above, so below. As in the small, as in the big, it's all the same, right? It's just degree of perspective. That's all it is. So when you take the micro-macro of that, then you say, wait a minute, then how do I give the best version of myself? Is to follow myself. And one thing that I love to include what you said is, I have a quote that I love to share here, that in order to be truly selfless, you must be selfish. Look at all the greats. Look at all the ones that became professional athletes, professional performers and all that. Behind the scenes, they're selfish. Mm-hmm. They train. They practice. And they do so much behind the scenes that people don't see. That's selfishness.
You know, even to help a Christian understand what you're saying, Jesus spent 30 years, no word of him, no
exactly.
Doing what he had to do. And it came to a point, this where it's like, his mom said, hey, can you turn this water into wine? Because, you know, the wine's gone. And, mm-hmm. and he even said, well, it's not my time, it's like, wait a minute. He's saying it's not his time, but his mom said to do it. So he had to check within himself
exactly.
at that point, like, should I do this or should I not? Well, my mom's saying to do it. I'm going to do it. It's like, that's a beautiful story right there. Yes. He had to say, like, okay, I'm going to do it. And the thing with Jesus was, like, he knew as soon as he did that, it was a death sentence. Because they were out for anybody that wanted. There was other messiahs around that time in the Jewish, and they killed them all. So he knew as soon as he said this, that as soon as he did that water into wine, the time was ticking to the crucifixion, because that's what they were doing to everybody else that thought they were going to save somebody. Yeah. And he was trying to tell everybody, you save yourself.
Save yourself.
And people don't even see that. I would, like you guys would say, I would go to my mentor, and he would. When I left Christianity, I had to go to the East. I had to study Taoism, because because Christianity was just so tainted for me, because they never had the answers. And then so I studied the Taoism, but I still went to my mentor, who was a Christian, I guess. But so I would go to him, and he's like, "Well, everything you're saying is in the Bible." I said, "No, it's not." And like Alice said, it's like, well, yeah, it is. It's right here.
Yes.
It's right here. It's right here. And it's like, nobody's ever told me that before. Nobody's ever said that, you know. And I would talk to my mentor, who has a church, and he would say it's a Christian church. And then I would ask him, like, well, if you believe all of this, and me and you can have a conversation like this having coffee, then why do you have a Christian church? Because he would say, well, some people need to start at the milk.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to be the servant to give them the milk. But if they want to have coffee and talk a little bit and find out, yeah, you were God the whole time, well, let's have that conversation. And I'm just like, whoa. So you're like, he's like the butler, you know, like the servant, the one that's going to come in and like, what do you need? What do you need today? Oh, this is what you need? Well, here you go. But if you want, okay, you want steak now? Well, let's talk about the steak.
Yeah. And so, John, can I step in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse us. That's what we do with Samadhi. Right now, we volunteer at rehab centers in Mexico across the border in San Luis for the men and women. And what Michael and I started to put together, if you will, this, and it's not even like a dream, it's really a calling, that I take my experience and what I lacked in my life, he takes his experience and what he lacked, bring it together so that we could take the milk. Because if someone wants to go in deep, then fine, Michael has the experience and the know-how, and let's go ahead and let spirit lead us. But what we desire to do with Samadhi is take just those baby steps, especially in the rehab centers where these people are probably at the lowest point of their life in the physical, mental, spiritual, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they will absorb to the point where let's just give them at least a tool, something that they can take with them when they come out of these rehab centers. Because in reality, a lot of the people who go to the drugs is because they're looking, they're searching.
They need an experience.
And they need to numb a lot of pain. See, I never went to drugs. That's why I said we're such opposite worlds. You know, he was in gangs. He was on drugs. He did all that bad stuff, supposedly. I'm over here living another lifestyle, but yet I felt bad. I felt dirty.
Equally as empty.
Equally. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we bring both of those worlds together and help the men and women to find within themselves that inner peace, that inner self-love, and give them at least some little bit of hope to plant that seed. And if they're ready later for the steak, you know, when they come out of that rehab center, we always give them our contact information. You guys want a private class, or we can meet your families, etc. I have several of them already, friends on Facebook.
They're doing
they
amazing.
Message me all the time, and
wow.
and they transform right before our eyes.
In weeks.
I mean, it's incredible.
In weeks.
As young as 15 years old, you know, all the way up to 60 something, they have them all mixed in there. And it is just incredible. Tuesdays when we go out there, it's our favorite day of the week. We just love doing that.
And you pour out of your abundance.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. And they feel it. You know that they embrace us. And we have a different dynamic. We do. When we teach, it's so hilarious because we have to take a number sometimes. It's like, okay, wait, it's my turn. Wait, I just have to download.
And then I love this whole yin-yang thing that's going on over here.
It is amazing. He'll come back and then he's like, wait. And we even try to devise this little thing for us, like, okay, let's have a code so we don't look so bad. And then one day we just said, you know what, doesn't matter what we look
doesn't
like.
Doesn't matter.
If people have criticized this, I will tell you that they say, Michael, why don't you let her talk, or Alice, you interrupt him too much sometimes, or something like that. And we said, you know what, no more. Our essence is our essence, and we're going to speak when spirit calls us to speak. And we respect each other very much, and we love each other very much. So it's like, okay, when it's Alice's turn, it's Alice's turn. When it's Michael, you know, I'll just stay quiet.
Yeah. Can I
go ahead? And don't get us started. Here we go.
And the thing about it is that when you have a like-minded or like more intimate in
get
the,
a little
in
bit closer to the mic.
Oh, excuse me. When you have a like-minded or spiritually in-tuned partner, even a friend, you know, but you have someone in your space that you share with that, it's like when they talk, they move your consciousness, and it's like, wow, like we call them downloads.
Yeah.
Like it's not thoughts come into our heads. It's like this whole movie of this packet of like, we just know what to say, you know? And the thing about it is that it's just a beautiful collage of things coming together. And
I'll be the first to say, I see it. So yeah. you don't even really have to explain it other than I see it.
Yeah, when we had that meeting yesterday, I was telling John, I was like, this can't happen without Alice. Exactly. Like, we have to have them together.
Yeah, she was like, do we have another microphone? You know, and then so, like, this morning I was scrambling.
I was like, microphone?
I've been telling her that.
Oh, I'm so glad she said that. I'm so glad I went and got that microphone this morning. This is this thing right here, because I'll say one thing. I can see even she kind of holds you back a little bit. Not holds you back, but like kind of like
she brings
puts
me
you back.
Yeah.
One thing I'm trying to do is he speaks with his hands, and I'm
then
trying
hits
to
the
do.
Mic.
Yes, I'm trying to help him so he doesn't hit the cords like you said.
But
I
it's
don't
okay.
want to be too obvious. And then there's times he's a preacher. He doesn't want to own that, but he just, when he gets on fire, oh my gosh, I could hear him for 8 hours and I don't get tired. So when I hear him get into that fire, sometimes I'm like, okay, bring him back down, you know, a little bit, but it's all good.
No, it's a good thing because what I'm saying is because he, I don't know how to say it if I'm not as far as advanced as Michael or whatever, but I was the guy that still kind of like trying to wake everybody up, go meditate, wake up, get out of bed, mm-hmm. you know? And it's funny because I think about like every time I try to get my son out of bed too early and it's like a fight and, you know, and he's mad and he's cranky and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't go around trying to wake everybody up all the time. And I, you know, you need that balance. And yes. I love the balance that you guys have going on here. I got to admit that.
And that's what samadhi is about, balance. And that's why we call it the sea of wisdom. That's a beautiful way that you put it right now. Because we are not just spiritual. We're not just physical. We're not just mental. We're all three.
Everything.
And the thing about it is we need to take one factor into the altar of consciousness, which is we're experiencing everything through mind. And that's what samadhi does. We have this thing that we love to share, this dynamic. And the thing that I realized is if you know you're experiencing through mind, then what do you need to work through? Mind.
Your mind.
Because just like the laws of the universe and the laws of the earth, you can't break the law and get away with it. Mm-mm. I mean, you can break laws, you know, that the state puts, that the country puts, and you might get away with it, you know, but you're not going to get away with breaking, you know, divine laws, you know. And when you realize, as above, so below, this is one thing people forget. And it's like, there's some people like Alice that didn't even know they existed. There's mental laws. And let me just emphasize what we mean by that. If you don't know how the mind operates within the laws of the mind, then what you're taught works reverse, oppositely, totally of what the mind works. And when people just reflect on that concept, of course, if they need guidance, that's what we specialize in. But when you realize that there's mental laws, and when you really learn how to align with those laws, then you realize that the laws are all with you.
Mm-hmm. They're for you.
Exactly. They're one with you.
To give our listeners, there's a book that I read called Working with the Law. It's a book. It's from, I think, the 1930s or 40s. Raymond Hollowell, and then also the book called Game of Life and How to Play It,
yes,
by Florence Shin. Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Those books help me understand
the laws.
Good.
Yes,
and we're kind of wrapping up here at the end, but you know, this has been a great podcast. It's a total surprise. I'm so grateful that Tori mentioned and put this together,
thank you.
And I wasn't able to make the meeting. But she took it upon herself to go there, and she was like, we need to get that other mic. And I'm so grateful because
thank
sitting
you.
Right here
yeah.
is my old Sunday school teacher.
Yes.
Thank
which
you.
Is so we, four kids, Naomi Schaefer.
No, that's the other Naomi.
Okay, so who's Naomi?
Yeah, that was a little crowd. Naomi, and that one was Quiñones was the last one. Okay. Then. And Matthew Hosselhorn.
I remember Matthew.
Yeah, so it was all that little bunch. Eunice was also one of the little bunch. That was the younger sister. And then Brent was Matthew's younger brother.
Okay.
So it was all that little bunch. Your mom, actually, so that you kind of get the time frame, your mom and Matthew's mom, which is Ginger, both of them were the first ones to go knock on my door when I moved to Yuma back in 93. They knocked on my door to invite me to First Christian Church. Now, at that point in my life, I had left the church for a while because it's a lot of personal stuff there, but we had kind of left the church. But I missed it. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go back to the church. Now, we come from a Hispanic Pentecostal background, so that's even, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So First Christian was not Hispanic, and I said, that's okay. And I gave the announcement at home, you know what? I'm going back to church finally. And in the beginning, your mom and Ginger would go pick up my three little girls back then that I had. Now I have a son as well, but they would pick up my girls and take them to church because I worked two jobs and I couldn't take them. And finally I decided, you know what, I'm going to go with my girls, because everybody at First Christian Church just knew the three little girls, just all of them by themselves all the time, no mom or dad. And your mom, actually, like I said, was the first one to knock on my door.
Wow. You know, that's this is tripping me out. You know, I guess one thing about my mom is, so she's still into the, I love her to death, but the religious kind of block on her mind is kind of there. And but it's a trip. When I talk to her about these spiritual things, she's like, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. She can feel it.
She can feel it.
That's the way with with Michael's mother. I know you're wrapping it up, but that's the way it was with his mom, because she was in the Christian church.
And she meditates with us now.
And now she
meditates.
Wow.
She was like the most... Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
See, that's what we do. Give me 1 second, sweetheart.
Sure.
Because I do take pride in this. Yes. I didn't want to meet her in the beginning because I was a little afraid. I was a Christian woman studying with someone about, you know, all this metaphysical and meditation. I said, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to meet your mom. And then he says, oh, but you know, you'll love her. And of course, but then all of a sudden I'm telling her, listen, it's in the Bible. Yeah. And when I start sharing with her, now she meditates with us. And her favorite thing to tell us all the time when we leave for our different missions or presentations, she says, go do what you do best.
Yeah.
She knows that both of us have a different dynamic. Yeah. She'll look at him, go do what you do best, Michael. Alice, you go do what you do best, because she knows we're so different and we balance each other out. And now she's meditating.
And one thing is that... if I may give you some advice from personal experience, is just love your mom where she's at. Don't have any resistance if she's not open to it. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you one thing that I learned from Alice is when I had resistance with it, because I was like, Mom, like you think it's like this, but it's like this. I mean, how can you think that there's an unconditionally loving God, but yet you think he judges you?
Yes.
It's like, I was like, come on, Mom, it doesn't make sense to me. So I was trying to, that's a word we use a lot, right? I was trying to get her to wake up, right? But then when I realized, wait a minute, it's not my job to wake up my mom. It's only my job to be the light, to be that essence, to be the example. And when she sees my calmness, when she sees my... Because I was a very angry person. I was a very... I mean, yeah.
That's
very, very...
Podcast.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
If you ever need a subject on anger...
Oh, yeah. I mean, my point is this. That when she's seen with evidence, and this is what I told her, and this is what, you know... I'm going to say to all people that are in religion, if you really truly trust your deity, your God, your belief of who you are, then you can go into the shadow and bring that. But if you know you're one with that, the one with that will reveal itself in the shadow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has to.
So.
That's a good way to end it.
Okay.
That's great.
I was like,
the preacher. So, okay, Michael, Alex, Alice, how do we find out more about what you guys got going on?
Well, we're actually working on a website right now.
Right.
I'm
working on it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does amazing work. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say one thing. She's the most talented person I've met in my life.
Check this out.
I'm not joking. Like, I've been a fan of hers for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need this girl in my life. Not in, you know, it just as a friend. And I would watch her on videos and I kind of like, please meet with me. And at first she wouldn't meet with me. She was a little bit of recluse. And
shy.
I was like, no, I seriously. And I was like, no, I wouldn't give up. And to me, this partnership right here is just a beautiful thing. Yeah. Seriously, thank she's you. So talented. Websites, music, video. Like, it's like, my goodness, what can't she do?
And she took our picture.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that, too.
So, yeah, I got to give a shout-out to her real quick. Yeah. So that's cool. She's working on your website. Right. So do you have a URL yet? Or?
No.
We're working on that.
We're in such
That's another steps. World. So, yeah.
Just find us on Facebook.
Yeah, find us on Facebook. YouTube. We got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, put our names. You know, spell it all out, and they can find us on Facebook. And
that's so spell it. Spell it.
Well, I have my own individual Facebook. He has his own individual.
I have the link.
And then we have a page.
Yeah, we have a page, but the page is really not.
Okay.
We're working on it.
So stay tuned then.
Yeah, stay tuned.
We'll tell people to stay tuned, right. And then I'll update people once your website and everything's up. Does that sound good?
But if we can give her a number, people can call if that's possible.
It's up to you.
You can call me, please, because he's always, most of the time in sessions or working on his inner self. I kind of do the physical work.
Okay.
So that he could do that.
Okay.
And email. So you can call me. You want me to say the number now?
That's up to you.
Yeah, 928-920-6464. It's been the same number for more than 20 years. So any of my old friends that want to find me, they'll be able to find me on there as well and get to know that it's really not that scary to go into that dark side because it's not really dark. It's your friend.
Wow.
So, and the email. Samadhi, which S-A. You will spell that. Samadhi.
You want me to spell
Samadhi, seaofwisdom@gmail.com. Samadhi is SAMADHI, and then seaofwisdom, SEA of wisdom@gmail.com.
Right on.
Okay. All right. Well,
and one thing, may I?
Yes, for sure, man.
The one thing that I like to tell everyone where we go is I do my own inner work. I don't need the glory. I don't need the praise. I don't need the attention. All I do is my intention is to bring the glory and greatness within everyone. So the glory and greatness that you hear, you feel, you see here is just you seeing yourself. So when we can honestly embrace that, because the programming is so strong that you're not worthy, you're not great, you're not loved. And when you do that, you're doing yourself a not service. You're not doing yourself a service. And yet you're not doing the essence, God, spirit that brought you here service. So we are just facilitators to bring the master out of you. We're not the master bringing, you know, education to you. We don't bring education. We bring
experience.
Experience. If you want to take responsibility over your life right now, we will help you take full responsibility and to experience the fullness of life.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. And
thank you so much.
We'll update our website. As soon as you guys come up, we'll put a little link so everybody will know about how to visit you. And if there's anything we could do to partner with you in the future, I love what you're doing in Mexico. Yes. That's like a beautiful thing, and we would love to take part in that. So
awesome.
I want to thank again our partners, North End Coffee House and Studio Y, and thank you. And we'll be back next time.
Sure.
Thank you.
Anytime you guys need us.
All right. Bye-bye.